Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
From time to time in these podcasts, I like to engage a pretty meaty topic. A lot of times, I haven't really thought it completely through, but I just want to share what my thinking is in the hopes that in talking about it, maybe I'll understand more about how I feel about it. And that's the case here for sure. I'm titling this podcast, The Powerful Seduction of Representationalism. And I'm not even sure representationalism is a word. I may have made that up. So I should probably explain what it is and ask your indulgence, because I got a feeling this podcast might be a little longer than some of my normal ones. The other day, I spent about 40 minutes or so working on one of the new captures I've made here in Eastern Oregon while I'm on vacation. And I visualized it in my mind's eye from the very get-go as a black and white image. So the first thing I did was convert it to black and white. Easy enough. And after that, I started dealing with all the delicate issues of balancing the lights and the darks and the edges of the photograph and sharpening and all those things that you normally do. I spent quite a bit of time working on it and fussed and tweaked until I felt I had an interesting and artistic rendition of the scene that was an accurate vision of my response to this particular landscape. I felt pretty good about it. And when one of the family members asked about what I was working on, I showed them the before image and the after image, and she said that she preferred the color image before I'd done any processing at all. And it immediately struck me that that is the core of a huge dilemma in fine art photography, because what she was expecting to see was entirely different from what I was intending to make. We just weren't even on the same page. She wanted to see something that was an accurate rendition of what the scene looked like, human eye vision, if you will, which would be in color and have sufficient detail and all of that. What I was attempting to do was something that was an artistic interpretation. And it occurred to me that she wasn't wrong, because beauty's in the eye of the beholder, of course, and she knew what she was interested in seeing. And what she was interested in seeing was a representation of what I saw at the moment I clicked the shutter. That's what I mean by representationalism. I've often referred to this as camera as Xerox copy machine. So I've been thinking about this issue a little bit, and the first thing that's occurred to me is that photography's ability to reproduce with such accuracy what it looked like is sort of its great strength and its great Achilles heel. Because when we show someone a photograph, their immediate reaction is to assume what they are doing is looking at a reproduction of what the scene looked like, the accuracy, the veracity of the scene. But that's not always what we photographers are hoping to produce. Yes, we take advantage of photography's realism, but is that really what we're trying to do? Is simply say, I was there, I saw this, I made this photograph, end of story, now you can have the same experience. A lot of photographers do that. A lot of non-photographers who use a camera, think snapshots and family events and that kind of thing. That's exactly what a camera does. But for people like you and I, we're trying to do something that's different with a camera. And sometimes what we're trying to do is so different that the average viewer can't really appreciate what it is that we're attempting, let alone evaluate whether or not we've accomplished it. Let me see if I can clarify it with this analogy. If I were a watercolorist and I made watercolor paintings, no one would look at my watercolor paintings and assume that they're looking at something that's real, something that's out there, something that they could see if they were standing next to me at the time I was making the watercolor. They would never think that. But instead, because of the medium itself, They would look at a watercolor painting and think, oh, this is artwork. This is a painting. This is a personal interpretation that someone has made with the skill and talents of their ability to do watercolor work. But they don't leap to that assumption when they look at a photograph. The seduction of representationalism overwhelms any other impulse, and they just assume that what they're looking at is something that's truthful. I think this is even true with black and white photography to some degree, because I remember, and I hope I'm not just speaking for myself here, but I remember the first time I went to Yosemite expecting to see what Ansel Adams had photographed. But of course, he photographed in black and white. All of his prints were relatively high contrast compared to the actual visual scene that I saw with my human eyes, because that's a convention in black and white. But it was like going to Yosemite, and the first thing I realized was, oh, Yosemite is in color. And it never occurred to me that it would be in color, because the photographs that I had seen were Ansel Adams black and white. But again, if I saw a watercolor image of Yosemite, I would never think, gee, this isn't an accurate representation of Yosemite, and therefore it's bad artwork. No, I would just assume that it's a personal interpretation of what someone saw through the medium of watercolor and colored, if you will, by their interpretation of what it is that they had seen. So I would never assume that the watercolor is representational of the scene. I would assume that it's representational of their feelings, of their emotions, of their observation of the scene filtered through the medium of watercolor. So, doesn't it seem reasonable that as photographers, one of our challenge is to try to get on the same page with viewers? Because if what they're thinking they're seeing is representation of what actually existed, that is to say, camera, Xerox, copy machine, but what we're intending is something that's artistic, that's personally expressive, etc., how do we bridge that gap? How do we communicate to them instantaneously without having to sort of spell it out in words or language? How do we communicate that what we're trying to do is not camera, Xerox, copy machine, not representationalism? Well, one way we can do that is by removing our work from the context of a picture. And here I'm thinking of wall art again. The minute we take a photograph and we put it in a mat board and frame it and we hang it on the wall, just exactly like we do with a painting, that we're putting our photograph in the context of a picture, and therefore we think that, well, people will look at our work as though it's artwork. But years ago, it dawned on me that that's not necessarily the case, because when you put that photograph up on the wall, it works equally well as a window as it does a piece of artwork. This occurred to me when I was sitting in my doctor's office, and they had pictures of beautiful landscapes on the wall, and I had the illusion that I was looking through the wall as though the photograph were a window, and just outside the window was this beautiful scene. Which, of course, is silly, because it's not. It's a photograph. It's a picture. But it was the confusion in my mind's eye that I was looking at the real thing, not an artistic interpretation of the real thing. That was what first occurred to me. I wrote about this in an early issue of Lenswork about windows. So making a picture that is matted and framed and put on the wall that simulates the experience of looking through a window puts our artwork in the context of someone, again, looking at the real thing. And of course, they're not looking at a real thing. When we take a picture of a tree, a photograph is not a tree. It's a symbol for a tree. It's a rendition that makes a tree-like something or other in our mind's eye. But it's not a tree. But when we look at an individual photograph of a tree, the seduction is so powerful to pretend as though we are looking at the actual tree that it gets in the way of any interpretation that says you're not looking at a tree, you're looking at a piece of artwork that somehow communicates something about trees and about us and about our relationship with trees. All of that is, to a certain degree, squelched because of the reality of photograph that seduces us into thinking that photography is representationalism. So when we photograph a tree, we know we're not really presenting someone with a tree when we show them our photograph. We're showing them a representation, a symbol of a tree. But what if the symbol we're trying to show them is not just a tree? The photograph is about something, but what is it about? Maybe it's about the way we feel about a tree. Maybe it has to do with environmentalism. Maybe it has to do with weather. Maybe it has to do with the sheer beauty of a tree, the aesthetic components of it. But the purpose of the photograph is not to say, this is a tree. It's to say, this is a response to the tree. This is our response to the tree. So, circling all the way back around to showing my work to the family member, can you see that there was a fundamental difference between her assumption about what I was sharing on my computer screen and what I was sharing on my computer screen? When I flipped the image from color to black and white, there was no question in my mind that I was creating something that was a personal expression. But when I showed her that black and white rendition on my computer screen and then flipped to the color to show her the original, I thought I was communicating something about the photographic process and how I had interpreted and how my feeling was different maybe than what I saw with my eyes. But that's not what she understood. What she understood was that my picture didn't look like the real thing, and therefore it was... what, not inadequate, not inferior, but not what she was expecting to see, and that she liked the color one better. Well, what does that mean, you like the color one better? It means it's more like what her expectations were when looking at that photograph. She wanted it to be real, but that wasn't at all what my objective was. So how do we bridge that gap? Well, again, to me, it comes back to removing the photograph from the context of a picture, which is why I've been working on these things called field notes, why I've fallen in love with doing chapbooks and folios and PDFs and blurb books and commercially printed books. Because the minute you take an image out of the context of the window in the wall, or you put that image in the context of other images so that it becomes a project, then it becomes very, very clear that accuracy is not the objective in creating the photographic image. That interpretation and response and aesthetics are of higher importance than verisimilitude and accuracy and camera Xerox copy machine. And part of the reason I bring this up here in this podcast is because I think it gets very confusing even for us photographers. We know that every time we click the shutter, we are creating an interpretation that goes through our thought process, our aesthetics, our experience, our craft. We know that. But yet, at the same time, that powerful seduction of representationalism pulls us in the direction of wanting to make our photographs be, quote-unquote, realistic. And that's complicated. Not just because it's impossible, but because it's false. When you show a picture of a mountain, you're not showing a mountain. When you show a picture of a tree, you're not showing a tree. When you show a picture of a person, it's not a person. The image works as a symbol. And in that regard, whatever we do to a photograph in processing, by converting it to black and white, by lightening and darkening, by sharpening, by cropping, all the things that we do, the purpose of that is to increase the power of the symbol, not to make the image look more and more like a perfect reproduction of what was in front of us when we clicked the shutter. I'm sure that some brainy philosopher in photography or art has talked about this with greater clarity than I am. And I wish I could simply say, you know, ditto, go here, read this. It'll discuss this whole concept of image as symbol. Gombrich or Benjamin or somebody must have discussed this in greater detail, and I just don't know about it. But the more I work in photography, and particularly here in the latter years of my photographic career, the more I realize how powerful that seduction of representationalism has been in my life. And so many of my photographs, I've tried to make them realistic, when what I should have been trying to make them was personally expressive, independent of the seduction of representationalism that's so powerfully encoded in the medium of photography itself. I remember years and years ago at the Anacortes Arts Festival, there was a photographer who had a booth and lots of his photographs. And they were lovely color photographs. But there was a banner in the back of the booth that was so illustrative of the issue. It said, "What you see is what I saw. No Photoshop applied." And I thought, what he's really saying with this booth of his quote-unquote artwork is that he was using the camera to do nothing more than capture with perfect objectivity what he saw before him. That in essence, what he was trying to do with his photograph is to say, this is the thing. But of course it's not. It's two-dimensional. It's limited to the colors that are reproducible in the photographic process. It completely misses all the other senses of sound and touch and taste and smell. It's not real. It's a symbol. By saying in his banner that he did not use Photoshop, he was implying somehow that his photographs were more truthful than someone who uses photography to create a personally expressive emotion and response to the experience the artist or the photographer had in first person. I think this is a fundamental question that each of us who are trying to create something with our photographic craft need to address. What is it we are trying to do? Are we trying to transport our viewers to a time and place that they did not personally experience firsthand, but can do so with some sort of compromise by looking at our pictures? And therefore, the more our pictures approach reality in terms of color rendition and sharpness and all the rest of it, the more they do that, the more powerful the photograph would become. Or do we let go of all of that and say, no, photographs are symbols. Photographs are references. Photographs are a means to transport the viewer to a different emotional state, not to a different place and time. And if so, how do we use the medium of photography to accomplish that? Like I say, in my case, that's been with things that remove the image from the context of being a picture and into the context of being a response. Again, folios, chapbooks, field notes, etc. I wish there existed language that I knew and could use to easily express this, because it's a hard thing for me to try to communicate. But the best I can do is to say that observing the thing is not the same as observing the photograph. And as a consequence, trying to make the photograph more realistic, more accurate, a better and more faithful reproduction of what the world presents us is the wrong goal, at least for photography as an art medium. The goal for photography as an art medium is not accuracy, is not representationalism, it's interpretation, translation, response, and that's where the personal expression part kicks in. Where this gets so doggone tricky is when we're trying to say something with our photographic artwork is completely different from what the audience is trying to connect with when they view our artwork. If their hope is to see in our photographs the thing itself, the accuracy of rendition, the perfect reproduction of what the world looks like, then they are very likely to judge our artistic interpretations as somehow being not what they're looking for, somehow not measuring up to what they hope to see in the photograph. And maybe that's why so many photographers are constantly pursuing bigger images, more detail, more depth, more reality in their images, which is perfectly fine for photography as representationalism, but seems to me to really miss the boat when we think of photography as a means of artistic expression. Perhaps this is just another way of discussing the objective point of view and the subjective point of view. Perhaps it's just the F64 group and Mortensen and pictorialism all over again. I'd have to think about that more carefully. But it seems to me that when someone looks at my photograph and comments that my photograph doesn't look like the subject looked, that's not an insult to my inaccurate photography, but very likely a compliment to the fact that I'm engaging the photographic medium as something other than a means of reproducing the world. Which brings me back to one of my favorite quotes I've used so many times in these commentaries from Rebecca West. The purpose of art is not to create a reproduction of the universe. One of the damn things is enough. She said it perfectly.
Copyright 2025, Lenswork Publishing.